What's up and welcome to Mostly Film,
your one-stop chaotic
shop of all things in the world of cinema. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan McCordage, and my beautiful co-host, JP Payton.
I gotta be honest, I don't know what happened, but our vocals are a little coming in hot, so well, I'm gonna get these adjusted. Sorry, coming in on the fly.
I'm coming in with, sounds like you do too. You got the...
I'm okay.
I got the sinus stuff going on, man. Like, listen, basically for a month perpetually now.
Yeah. Well, this next week is supposed to be some bad weather, so just buckle up.
Which I thought was just really tonight and tomorrow.
Mm-mm. The rest of the week's temperature's going to drop, and then, you know, into the world next week.
Yeah. We're having a big mattress, so.
Yeah. Just in time for the end of the world.
On that day, flash sale for the eclipse. I mean, it is pretty sus that a lot of places are doing states of emergencies for eclipse day, like places that aren't even in the... like totality of the eclipse.
They're actually doing states of emergency.
See, Indiana has one.
I'm not even on this. Like, yep. I'm not in that. Whatever.
Listen, Abby's actually been validating me lately.
Yeah.
Because for years I've been saying with my chest that Diddy's a pedophile. For years, and they won't believe me. They said I'm a fringe conspiracy theorist. I said, just wait, Diddy. When Diddy's the Epstein of the music industry, I've been saying this.
Okay, yeah.
And Abby's been vouching for me. She's like, yeah, Jonathan's been telling me about Diddy for years. I'm like, see? Sometimes conspiracy theories come true.
I would have never doubted those types of things, but I just was never tapped in enough to like to know or care.
And
I care. I care about sex trafficking, of course, but
I don't care about pedophile.
Not. Yeah, I just, you know, God's children are not for sale.
Amen.
That's all I'm saying.
Jim Caviezel.
Stand up.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I still need to go back and listen to that episode and figure out who we were talking about. Then I just woke back up. I was like, yeah, man, Jim Caviezel.
I don't know. It was early on, guarantee.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. I mean, just besides being down with the ick.
Yeah.
You know, had a good Easter. My sister and brother-in-law were in. We went to their church this week at Easter. He is risen. Hashtag shout out. Also, yeah. Transgender Awareness Visibility Day.
Hashtag. Purple Cross.
Hashtag Purple Cross, Garrett's favorite holiday.
Yeah.
Played a balls ton of Baldur's Gate. Finally dove back into that.
Yeah, glad you're back.
Yep. Have you played any?
Nope, haven't.
Have you made it to Rivington? In Baldur's Gate?
Nope, hadn't even made it to Baldur's Gate.
some really interesting storylines out there. I've had some really fun times in Baldur's Gate. Although I've now locked myself out of a very specific part of the story and I'm very mad.
No, because you can't go back.
My persuasion level, there's like a 30 something roll and I don't do 30s. And okay. I don't think I can possibly hit 30.
Yeah.
And I can't. I'm at a point where it doesn't matter how far back I go and save. I'm just kind of screwed.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not going to give you like a bad ending or anything. It's not what I want.
Sure.
And then last night, I went through a stretch where I didn't save my game for like 6 hours.
Ooh, that's the worst.
Yeah. And I accidentally answered a question wrong.
Yep.
And it triggered a fight. And I didn't think it would do that because they're good people and they're Harpers. And I saved the Harpers multiple times in this game.
Don't matter.
Yeah. They started attacking me. So I just quit the game, like just shut my whole Xbox off.
Oh.
In hopes that it auto saved.
It's amazing it didn't auto save for 6 hours.
That's what I'm saying. I'm hoping that, because I went in and out. I completed missions.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that somehow it doesn't screw me over. But I just quit the game, and now I might have 6 hours worth of gameplay to go make up again.
But yeah, that'd be great.
It's kind of quicker now that I know. But anyway, Raphael's a prick.
Okay.
So that's where I am in Baldur's Gate. Not that specific thing. Shadow Heart finally got freaky with me.
Okay.
Like all the way Mazel freaky tov. With me. Like,
did she bleach her hair and all that?
Oh, yeah. I'm already way past that. Yeah. And I had like 60,000 gold on me, just on me.
Yeah.
And I bought, someone had,
Did you see that? Yeah.
Do cats do that?
Kind of like circle and sit?
No, just scoot their boot like that. Oh,
no. No, they don't.
Haven't given her allergy medicine. That could be why. But anyway, yeah. No, Baldur's Gate 3. Sorry. I could go on a tangent again because I spent a lot of time doing that. It's great. I had a great time and continue to have a great time with Baldur's Gate. So what have you been doing?
My life had otherwise been pretty hectic, but now that Easter's over, I'm just gonna do a lot of relaxing today, honestly. And yeah, just kind of looking forward to getting back into a normal routine after the last few weeks. So
Yeah, I really enjoyed our Robin Williams films this week, too.
I did, too. I can't wait to talk about them for Thursday.
Thursday's episode. Yeah. It'll be a good time. So let's jump into our listener Nixit and talk about the trailers we have for this week. The first one is Yorgos Lanthimos, his new film, Kinds of Kindness. And if that name sounds familiar to you all, and it should, obviously, it's because he's coming off the high of Poor Things. And doubly, it has Emma Stone and Willem Dafoe and Margaret Qualley in it. So it's very familiar.
Yeah.
Those are all three in Poor Things as well.
But you also get the addition of Jesse Plemons, Huang Chao.
Joe Alwyn.
And Hunter Schaefer.
We need to say the other guy's name because he's the only other, black man on the world.
Okay.
Mamamoduati.
I mean,
I wish he didn't say my name. Kentucky lost. We need to say that. It's been a time of mourning. Kentucky basketball.
I mean, it's been like 2 weeks since they lost. We've done a podcast since then.
Did we?
Yeah, we just didn't talk about it.
Oh, that's sad.
We're still mourning.
Yeah, now I can talk about it. Not in detail. Just it's sad, but at least Duke lost last night. That helps.
Yeah, that helps. We can talk about in Tennessee.
I don't hate Tennessee with Rick Barnes there.
I can't stand Tennessee.
I hated Bruce Pearl. Caitlin's
like direct like boss is like a huge uh-huh. Tennessee fan. And
don't like Zach Edey.
I'd be fine with Zach Edey winning. You know,
right now it's anybody but UConn for me. It's gonna be UConn for
it's
sure.
It's gonna be UConn.
The fact that Illinois got smacked. Told me everything I need to know.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Kinds of Kindness. Yeah. So are you listing or nixing Yorgos's new film?
I'm absolutely listing this.
It's already on my watch list.
Yeah.
So I'll read the brief synopsis. A triptych fable following a man without choice who tries to take control of his own life. A policeman who is alarmed that his wife, who was missing at sea, has returned and seems a different person. And a woman determined to find a specific someone with a special ability who is destined to become a prodigious spiritual leader. Reading the synopsis is not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Because you remember, was this the one you thought was like a mobster film?
Yeah. I don't know what about it. It just kind of feels like not like a mobster movie.
Yeah.
Like not like a Goodfellas type, but the type of movie where your main characters get wrapped up into some kind of dealings with the mob. Like they're kind of out to get them in the same sense that. Drive Away Dolls, you know.
Yeah, I actually thought this was giving me Baby Driver vibes for a minute.
Oh, yeah, I can kind of see that.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all in for this. Yorgos is basically undefeated in my book. I mean, whether it's The Lobster or The Favorite, Killing of a Sacred Deer, or now Poor Things most recently, but I still want to watch Dogtooth, and I probably will pretty soon now because I figured out how to put subtitles on, so...
that's
kind of kindness all in on that. Give it, pump it into my veins.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much looking forward to it.
You know what I'm not looking forward to, but I have to list just because I've seen all the other films?
Bad Boys.
Oh, not this.
What? Oh, not
I clicked
that.
On
no,
bad,
that's not it.
That is not the right Bad Boys.
Not on Letterboxd.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's a gay porn. Where am I? Ride or Die. There it is. Whoa. All right. So, Bad Boys Ride or Die. This is Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, as expected. Another sequel. Also has Vanessa Hudgens, Alexander Ludwig, Eric Dane, Ian Gruffudd, and then Joe Pantoliano, who you said has a different hairline every film.
Yes.
So, you got your cast back. You got your main stars. Same director from the last film, which I really like Bad Boys for Life. So I was hopeful for this, but we watched the trailer and I was not a fan of the trailer at all.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and say it because you mentioned it before we talked. I'm not listing this.
I am only because I've seen all the other films.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch it. I'm adding it to my watch list because I'm going to watch it. I know there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's going to be watched.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go see it in theaters.
This trailer, there was nothing really interesting happening in this trailer.
Not a bit.
And
the most generic plot point ever.
Well, they basically explain the whole movie in the trailer, which is very reminiscent to like early 2000 movie trailers. But
and that would
without
be fine
the,
if the trailer looked good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It would be great if the trailer looked good. I, when I think of like, I remember Bad Boys 1. I remember parts of Bad Boy 2 just from like cable television, like coming on here and there. The action sequences were always great.
Yeah. And real, and which is funny.
Kind of innovative. Like it just kind of had its own style to it.
Yeah.
And I can tell where this one is trying that.
Yeah.
But
it's not
in an age
land.
Where you have John Wick, you have, what are some other action movies that we've talked about recently?
The Mission Impossible movies, even from the same era as this.
Yeah. That continue to grow as far as, I don't see it in the trailer.
No, I don't either. And you said this better. This looks like a video game trailer.
Yeah.
I genuinely think that I think the GTA 6 trailer is going to look better than this movie trailer did. Like there's a slow motion part where they're tossing their gun in a gunfight and it CGI pistol. Like what is going on? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. And their old boss is getting framed and they have to go clear his name. I mean, that's the whole plot of the film.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems very lazy. Especially when Will Smith is coming off trying to rebuild his name in Hollywood, whatever your takes are on that, this seems like not the right move to be your kickoff, you know. But I'm listening because I will end up watching it because I like the franchise as a whole. So
yeah, and I'm sure it will do decent in the box office.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure, and that's fine. I'm glad for that.
Yeah.
So about Unfrosted, we talked about this last week, but there was no actual trailer, just artwork.
I don't remember this at all. So
yeah, we just touched on it. I said there's a new Pop-Tart movie coming out on Netflix, I think. And maybe it did. Maybe we set it off pod.
Yeah.
But it's directed by Jerry Seinfeld, and it is about the story of the Pop-Tart. I'm just going to read the synopsis real quick because it's like a sentence. A Pop-Tart will rise in a time when milk and cereal ruled breakfast. A fierce corporate battle begins over revolutionary new pastry. Are you listing or nixing this new Netflix comedy?
You know, surprisingly, I'm going to list this.
I am too.
I was on the fence, but when I pulled it up on Letterboxd, I saw the runtime, and it is at a perfect 93 minute.
Which is impressive because of the cast in this film. Like, I didn't even see some of these people. Like, John Hamm.
Yeah.
Dean Norris. It was Christian Slater.
Yeah.
The Milkman. Bill Burr, Peter Dinklage, Bobby Moneyhanen.
I don't even remember seeing Dan Levy.
I don't either. Max Greenfield, Dean Norris, James Marsden, Amy Schumer, Hugh Grant, Jim Gaffigan. I mean, Melissa McCarthy, Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, what a fun cast. This movie looks like a Netflix film. I don't know why they've kind of like made this their image. Like, you look at Hustlers or Payne.
It's super polished.
Yeah.
But still very consumer-like.
Yes.
It's weird because of the world. It kind of felt like because this is obviously not taking place in a real world.
It's a farce.
Yeah. But you never watched the Flaming Hots.
No.
Movie. Okay. That was a Hulu original. It very much felt like a Hulu original. This reminds me of that, but like we were just saying, it's in that Netflix style. And it honestly, it doesn't look too bad. The world that it's in, it's a super, it's a very caricature like world. And it kind of reminded me of Barbie.
I can see that.
Which again, this is just like a capitalist, like corporate run type world. And you know, it's weird, but the cast, the premise of the movie,
and the runtime.
The runtime
is very promising.
Yeah. It's
especially for how much you saw in that trailer. Like that's very promising.
Yes.
I hadn't seen that prior. So
I don't want to see a 2.5 hour long movie about, you know, some
love fest. Space race between Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. 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 Keep it short. Keep it, you know, micro, like a
kiss, baby.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid.
So I'm going to list it.
Same. What about the next one? The Dead Don't Hurt. A big guy, Viggo Mortensen directed films. He's only directed one other film called Falling, which I've not seen. But looking at it now, Laura Linney's in it. It's got 3.1 on Letterboxd. Anyway, this is the second film that he's directed and also stars in, The Dead Don't Hurt. It's set the 1800s. Kind of looks like a love story. Then it kind of turns a little more violent.
Yeah.
You listing or nixing this?
I think I'm going to list this. Yeah.
Same. Read me that paragraph
there. Yeah. So in the 1860s, fiercely independent French Canadian Vivian Lacote embarks on a journey with Danish immigrant Holger Olsen, attempting to forge a life together in the dusty town of Elk Flats, Nevada. When Holger decides to go fight for the Union in the Civil War, Vivian must fend for herself, which isn't easy in a town. And the
bar is burgeoning.
Burgeoning, yeah. Which isn't easy in a town controlled by a corrupt mayor. So yeah, basically, couple moves, man responds to call of duty, woman left to fend for herself.
So it seems very lovey-dovey at the beginning. And then as he's gone and then comes home, he realizes things haven't gone well. He goes on like a rampage when he comes home. It's kind of the way it looks.
I didn't follow the trailer. I wasn't paying as much attention as I thought. I didn't get the corrupt mayor side of it. Kind of, and I felt like Viggo's character is the one that leaves. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the feeling that he had left all that. I don't know, just a weird.
Yeah, this could. The only concern I'm listening to, but I think I said that. But the only concern I have is it may be a total too tonally difference, a little over 2 hours long, and I'm not sure what they're going for like a wholeness of a film, but. It does have Viggo, it has Garrett Dillahunt, and it has Danny Huston, and it has Ray McKinnon. All of those guys are always in wildly wild movies. So I'm anticipating this to be a little more, not risque, but like, and not
divisive.
Like it's going to have, divisive, yeah. Like it's going to definitely be divisive, but it's also going to be, I think, a little more, it's going to have a lot of excitement to it.
Okay.
And a lot of, because they play, in any film I've ever seen them in, they're always like villains and they're always pretty violent in some way. So I'm pretty excited for that. I think.
Well, I think in some of the, what do they call the blurbs or whatever for the trailer, it kind of hints at it tries to deconstruct the modern, like your take on a Western, and you know, Westerns are kind of founded on the good versus evil vibe. And what if they're just all evil? You know, type of thing. Yeah,
this would be a great one for if it deconstructs a Western, have Dawson come on here and tell us why we're wrong for that.
I'll welcome that. It's fine.
Yeah, be a great time. All right, let's talk about our last one. Evil Does Not Exist. so this is actually released last year, but we're starting to see some trailers for it here in the States. It's a Japanese film, I believe. Yeah, Japanese. And it follows the story of a man and his daughter and some tragedy happens. And there's like a campsite being built, and it turns into a thriller. I'm not really sure. I'm at context of the trailer.
So I've definitely got this as a list.
Same.
So basically, it follows a small Tokyo town. The, you know, your typical like, what do they call those? Glamps.
Glamping.
One of those companies or whatever moves into this area, and it's upstream, like it's up on this side of the mountain, and you know, this town obviously relies on, you know, the natural resources and stuff, and they are concerned that this is going to cause ecological problems, and so they push back. Well, it gets approved, and then, you know, I think things happen, and there's like a mystical like aspect to this as well, almost like a spiritual.
It kind of seemed like The Happening, but made better.
Yeah.
So
haven't seen The Happening, but I'll go with you.
You probably shouldn't. It's not very good.
Okay.
But it is an M. Night Shyamalan film, but where nature basically takes revenge on the human race. But
Yeah, and I mean, it goes without saying, like Japanese, like a lot of stuff that takes place in Japanese, you know, you see it in a lot of Studio Ghibli stuff. Like, it's a very spiritual place.
Yeah,
there are different deities for the land and the areas, and you know, a lot of folklore and stories are based around the spirits of the land kind of manifesting and kind of either running amok or standing their ground. And I could see where that kind of element comes up in a movie like this. So
It's got me really excited.
Yeah.
Because you told me that the seating is out, and it is.
Yeah.
And I'm reading all the reviews with people I follow. It's got a 2.9 on Letterboxd, but almost everybody I follow is 4 or 4.5, mm-hmm. 1 5-star. And I think that's going to be a watch for me this week.
Let me know. Yeah. Let me know what you think. Cause that was, I was on the edge on that one.
So, but yeah, no, evil does not exist. It looks good to me. I was actually unsure, even though I knew I'd been wanting to see it, just based on early reviews and people talking about it. But then watching this trailer and especially the second half of the trailer, like, oh yeah, this is going to be something I enjoy too. So all lists for me is, although I'm very, very, it would not be a list on Bad Boys if it wasn't for the fact that I've loved the rest of the franchise. Yeah. So, you know, there's that. All right. That brings us to what we've been watching. So you watched 2. So open me up with 1.
I got to pull it up. Well, easy one's going to be, I rewatched Babylon. The Big Picture did a podcast episode where they do a watch along with it. And so basically just watched along with some commentary. Was actually a pretty fun experience. I would encourage most to do that. Pretty funny. And I love Babylon. It was a 5-star movie for me at the time because I watched this.
Is it not now?
I don't know.
It's, I saw you just put a heart next to it.
Yeah, because I'm on the fence. Like, I really do enjoy it.
You would use like a Reese's egg. I brought 2. I don't
want one. No. You know, Chazelle. I don't know if La La Land kind of doesn't ruin it for me, but kind of like,
it's so bad.
It's really good though.
It's so bad.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it second time around. It's one of those movies where I don't have to see the whole movie now. Like, there's just, it's a movie full of perfect scenes. And I think you could just plug and play any parts of those scenes and be happy. It feel like you watch the whole movie again. So I really enjoyed it. And Margot Robbie's fantastic.
Yes, she is.
So
she is. And Tobey Maguire, she's still as fun as he was.
Tobey Maguire, yeah. I think that's that on a rewatch was the biggest standout to me, was just how completely unhinged. When I was listening to the Big Picture episode, they kind of made the comment of like, this was the most perfectly cast character.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you could make the case that Margot Robbie absolutely killed it. You know, Brad Pitt absolutely kind of captured what this character would have been like. But,
and the fact that no one got nominated
is nauseating. Yeah, but those two characters could have been played by probably just about anybody.
No.
Been pretty close. Would have been pretty close to the representation. I don't know.
Who was the other one? I was going to say
Margot Robbie.
No. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. They ended up being great choices, but it wasn't an end all be all. Tobey Maguire though.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yes, you could plug and play Dan Aykroyd. Anybody.
You know what you could have plug and played and made the Bad Boys for Life trailer better though, and it would have fit the budget looking for
what.
Gerard Butler and Jason Statham teamed up, and that could be that movie, and I would be way more excited see that.
What if Gerard Butler and Jason Statham were the heels that were going up against Will Smith?
I'd be way more excited.
And the thing that the Bad Boys were fighting, racism.
And Gerard Butler and Statham were racist? They don't play bad guys in their films. Statham doesn't.
No.
Butler will, but Statham doesn't.
Hobbs. Or Shaw, whichever one he was.
Yeah, not, he's forget. Really, he ends up not being a bad guy.
Well, yeah, but he starts out.
No, he starts out misunderstood.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, so that's Babylon. It's still a fantastic film to you, though. Like 4
yeah,
and a half.
Absolutely.
It's not, is it dropping past 4.5 if you dropped it?
No.
Oh, so it's still probably close to, it's still teetering 5-star for you regardless. Yeah. Okay. All right, well, I'll talk about mine real quick. And man, it was a bummer, bro.
Yeah.
I watched Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Is this the only movie you watched?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, I watched
Three Body Problem, a couple more episodes of Apple Never Fall, and
yeah.
Or Apples Never Fall, and then played Baldur's Gate. a ton, and I watched one Robin Williams movie twice.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Like, I loved it that much this go around. It was so good. And I was sick a lot. Like, yeah. Not like sick, but when you got this stuff going on, it drains me.
Yeah,
man.
There's no motivation to.
And we have this eclipse coming up, and we're giving out like hundreds of glasses a day.
Yeah.
And I'm just so tired of talking about eclipse glasses. Speaking of which, I forgot. I put a pair of 8 back, but I forgot. But I'll get them to you before.
You gonna make me drive up to Ben?
If you're in. Oh, I was like, bro, yeah, what is that? If you're in Benton, yeah, just come get them. If not.
I'm not gonna be in. Well, actually, I will be Wednesday. I gotta go up to Brinesburg.
Good, I'll be there Wednesday. I'm off Thursday, but I'll see you Sunday. I'll be at church. Yeah. Regardless, I'll get into you before the eclipse.
All right, gotta get my eclipse glasses and my eyes don't burn.
Yeah.
I need to be able to see my daughter. What if I go blind before I have a daughter?
Yeah. Feel her face. It'll be all right.
All right. So anyway, yeah.
Listen, where do you stand with the Ghostbuster films?
I've seen the first one, that's it.
Like the very first
one? Yep. Yep. And I think I've fully seen it through for the first time probably a few years ago. So
okay.
It's culturally, it has not made an impact for like me growing up, my family, like nothing really. So
I didn't grow up watching it either.
Yeah.
But I have the first one. I really like the first one. The second one's okay. The reboot's awful with the women. I don't care if anybody says it's a 2-star film at best. It's not good. Now Ghostbusters Afterlife, I really liked that one. I gave it 4 stars, same as the first ever Ghostbusters. So I thought this one would carry on that momentum. Because they brought Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and he was in the last one too. Ernie Johnson, and that his name? Ernie Hudson. Yeah. Ernie Hudson all back. Plus you add Patton Oswalt, Kumail Nanjiani, Carrie Coon. There's just so much fun with the cast here. I was like, you can't really go wrong. You do. You go way wrong. I'm probably, you know what, I'm lowering my rating right now.
Oh gosh. 1.5?
2.5.
Oh, 2.5.
Yeah, no, the all-female reboot was a 2-star film. So the problem with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, it's very similar to the first reboot film. An ancient evil is awakened, blah, blah, blah. They got to save the world.
Yeah.
There's more time spent in family dynamics and like arguing than there is ghost busting, which is a problem. Like there's no sucking because, you know, suck the ghost up, right?
Yes.
There's not very much of that.
Okay.
And it's just like a lot of buildup for a lot of nothing. Like, I don't know how to describe what kind of the film it is, but it's like one of those films that just talks like, you know, it's going to happen the whole time. And they spend 2 hours talking about what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do it and it's over.
Yeah.
There's no good character development. There's no payoffs. The villain is super one-dimensional. And cheesy, which cheesy is fine because Ghostbusters is cheesy at its core, but they bring back a lot of the retro ghosts only to have them be punch gags.
Yeah.
And that I didn't like that. Bill Murray, I didn't actually like his performance in this very much. Dan Aykroyd was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie Hudson was okay. And Paul Rudd was, I thought, really funny again in this. I like, he's the best addition to Ghostbusters. Like, let me have like, I love you, man, Ghostbusters. That would be.
I do feel like the last one, the one before this, which I hadn't seen,
Afterlife.
But I do feel like that was an attempt to soft reboot it, you know, on the shoulders of the original.
And it was great. I loved the first one.
But I don't think it did well enough.
It did pretty good.
But they knew that they had some gold here with, why can't I remember his name?
Paul Rudd?
Yeah, Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Everybody
universally loved Paul Rudd in that film. Yeah.
And so, but they still needed some juice to kind of.
And I like them adding Kumail.
Yeah.
This guy. I can't remember.
Yeah.
He's funny if enough in the film, but very one dimensional.
Yeah.
And then I just don't like the kid from Stranger Things, Finn.
Finn. Yeah.
I don't like him in either of the films. Carrie Coon, who I love him in The Leftovers. She's the worst in this film.
Mm.
And then the girl, McKenna Grace, who's the main star of the first one and in this one,
yeah.
I just don't vibe with her either. So what made the first one work was you really are rooting for the people. There's a lot of good backstories fleshed out of why you like these new people, and there's not, it is a reboot you should care about. And then they abandon it completely in the second one, and it's just not very good.
Yeah,
I just overall wasn't thrilled with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. It's, if you're a Ghostbusters enthusiast, apparently you really like it. I have a few, like Greg Miller from Kinda Funny.
Yeah,
he's like obsessed with this movie. Like, if you don't like, if you like fun, you like this. Well, I like fun, and I did not like this. So it's not, no, it's not a bad movie. It's just not a good movie either. I don't know. It's worth a skip if you're not a Ghostbusters fan.
Well, glad I don't have to watch it now. You know what movie I'm going to watch again in the near future, because it was really great. It's a little movie called The Gambler. It is the 1974 movie directed by Carol Reisz.
Are you watching James Caan movies? I feel like the third movie you've watched of his this year.
Well, I mean, I haven't been familiar with his work, and I apologize for that, James Caan. But
you got some Emmett Walsh in here too. May he rest.
May he rest.
That was good.
Yeah, sorry.
That was good. I like that.
This movie is, I'm going to give the little letterbox description to give it some justice. For $10,000, they break your arms. For $20,000, they break your legs. Axel Fried owes $44,000. New York City, English professor Axel Fried outwardly seems like an upstanding citizen, but privately, Fried is in the clutches of a severe gambling addiction that threatens to destroy him. I give this movie a lot of credit because it sets the stakes up really well, for a movie. It holds up really well because, again, like, this dude is in debt for $44,000. It's 2024. Like, that doesn't seem like a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was back then. This dude is, it says he's an English professor, but he more or less like talks a lot of psychology. Philosophy, right. I guess. And it's really interesting because a lot of stuff that he's talking about as professor is the stuff that he's living out. Like, why does man push himself to the limit? He kind of brings up this basketball analogy, which there's a plot line. I think you should watch it because it's really good.
Yeah, I plan on it. This is on you. You watching this made me realize that's something I need to, I've heard about it enough. Dawson likes this movie. I need to give it a go.
Yeah. This movie, one of the letterbox descriptions kind of said it best is, it says, this is a 4-star review from Jamal Bowie's, "What if Uncut Gems, but less funny and more existentialist?" This movie definitely kind of, it taps into that Uncut Gems, at the pit of your stomach kind of ending. It's not like Uncut Gems. It's more or less about.
I never got that from what I know about the films and the clips I've seen. I'd have never really put Uncut Gems on that.
I mean, it's the type of movie where, he's trying to collect all this money so that, you know, his collectors don't come for him. And it's just a race against time of like, is he going to get the money together? What relationships are is he going to ruin to get it? And
what was that movie we watched that was kind of like that with Ryan Reynolds? Mississippi Grind.
Yeah, Mississippi Grind. It does kind of have a similar. Mississippi Grind did a really good job of portraying like a gambling addiction. This does it even better.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Because again, I think he kind of. He kind of monologues about it with his class, in a way that's kind of on the nose, but really, really good. So James Caan, absolutely, he plays a lot of the same characters, but he does it so well.
Yeah, he was kind of like a modern day equivalent. Well, I mean, him and Al Pacino are the same age, but they're very similar kind of actors, Caan and Pacino, to me.
Yes. Yeah. Which we talk about for Thursday's episode.
Yes.
Can't wait to talk about Pacino. Gambler. I gave that one 4.5 stars. And
it's high praise right there. It's a 3.7 already.
Yeah. I'll watch it again pretty soon. So can't wait.
All right. Let's do the thing. Let's talk about Three Body Problem.
Okay, we're gonna talk some TV.
Yeah, I finished it.
Did you finish it with Abby though?
No, she never. I told her I wanted to watch it first, and because my dad wants to watch it too, and I was like, "Well, I'll proof it for everybody." That's clean enough. I told Dad, it's just language. There's only one brief nudity scene that's not sexual nudity. Yeah. It's the like they're all getting out of the water.
Yep.
I said you can skip 30 seconds ahead and it's done.
Yeah.
But I want to say I loved this show. However, there's something about it that keeps me from saying I loved this show. It's like I told my dad, it's like early cable TV.
Yeah.
It's like V. Did you ever watch the TV show V?
No.
The alien show. It's like V meets Lost.
Yep.
Meets Falling Skies from TNT. Those are three shows me and my dad all watch together. We love together. Like each episode, like there's no spectacle about Three Body Problem. And I was expecting that because every show you have, specifically Netflix kind of shows, have spectacle to pull you in and keep you at the edge of your seat. Like not, and when I say ad nauseum, I don't mean that in a bad way, but you know, action ad nauseum. Like this isn't that. It barely has any action sequences in it.
No.
And for being a science fiction alien show, there's like there's nothing to show for it in terms of like what you see.
Yeah.
From it. Like there's no big alien reveal in terms of like how you look at them.
Well, I mean the reveal in the sense of like they're already here in a sense.
Those two little what they can do. With
that was a pretty
like on the plane at the end.
That was a pretty effective reveal.
Yeah, at the end of the final episode.
No. No, I'm talking about whenever they explain the two axes, whatever they call them.
Yeah, to me the biggest flex of that was at the final scene of the scene before the final scene where
he's in the plane.
Sir Davos is on the plane, and
to me that element was always once we knew that they were already there, that was always a possibility. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when it was revealed, it kind of devalued everything that they were trying to do because it felt like that was always a possibility. Yeah. Like they had all this control.
Mm-hmm.
My issue, I enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
But like you, there was something that held me back from really probably loving it.
I recommend it to people. Because I would say if we're doing a Letterboxd rating, this is a solid 4-star show.
Exactly.
Not 4.5, not 5.
Yeah.
Now, if they come out with just a banger of a season 2, that might make me like carry on. I could bump season 1 up to 4.5 if they continue writing. Because these are the guys who wrote Game of Thrones. And the first 6 seasons of Game of Thrones are nearly flawless.
Yeah.
So if they carry that trend with this show, you know, season 1 might look a little better after season 2. Mm-hmm. And season 2 be great. This is a very well-written show, well-acted show. It looks cinematography, like it's beautiful to look at and watch.
Yeah.
The character development is so rich without being like overstaying its welcome. Like really loved it. I really wish...
Which one?
Samwell Tawley.
Saul?
No.
No. Jack.
Jack.
Yeah. Jack Snacks.
He was my favorite character. I knew he was going to die first just because you just know he's going to die first. Yeah. But I really liked his character and I was bummed to see him go.
Well, I will say the character style of him, and I'll probably use this descriptor for a lot of stuff in the future because I heard something similar to this for something else. It felt like when you open up a book and, you know, you turn to the, like, it's got like a book cover and you read that little side of the sleeve on the back of the cover.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives you a brief description. These characters, their whole character felt fleshed out in like that kind of blurb.
Yeah.
There wasn't a ton of depth except, our cancer dude. I feel like his character was kind of dived in a little bit more. Augie was absolute pain. I couldn't stand Augie.
Augie's the worst.
Saul is the only one, which, I mean, Babylon, dude that played the, the trumpet, I forget.
Yeah, like, I know. Will Downing.
Yes.
Alex Sharp.
Yeah. He's great. I don't know. It's just
Jack Rooney, which is a great name.
Yeah. I just felt like
Benedict Wong, though, loved him.
Benedict Wong is the most, like, I feel like he's the avatar for us in there because he felt so normal, felt so, honestly, the most fleshed out.
Yep.
Without knowing, we know less about his story than we do anybody's else. He's the biggest mystery, but he feels the most. He's our avatar. He's the most related.
Yeah, he. All that we know about him is he is
actually. I related with Saul quite a bit too, because he was always like, "Why are y'all so cool with everything that's going on?" Like,
yeah, he's like the first one we're introduced to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It did. It felt like I told you whenever I first watched it. I was like, this feels like Lost.
Yeah.
With all the mystery behind it. The problem is you don't have 22 or 24 episodes.
Yeah, you get eight.
Yeah, to kind of flesh out everything. You get eight, and so everything's so cut and dry. You don't really have much to worry or think about. That's the thing I kind of missed is the week to week dialogue and speculation of like, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
We just kind of got this whole lump sum, and yeah.
They have to wait 400 years till they actually show up.
What about that nanofiber scene with the boat?
Oh, that was awesome.
That was great.
Jonathan Pryce's.
Super effective.
Yeah, that was great. I was sad to see him go because for such a great character.
I kind of, you had to know, like, you get someone like him, he's going to die soon.
Well, they kept him around for two or three seasons of Game of Thrones.
But when you know, like.
Two seasons.
Actually. Yeah. I forget Jonathan Pryce was in.
He was the leader of the seven or whatever.
But anyways.
He's amused for.
I'm glad you like Three Bodies Problem.
Great.
Three Bodies Problem.
Really good. And I recommended it. I recommend everybody watch the show. It's very minor complaints.
I'm going to tell Caitlin to watch this. I've been trying to get her to watch it, but I think she'd watch it without me or whatever. Like,
okay, I really still don't know if Abby would like it or not. I'm very on the fence.
Mm.
Same with my dad. I don't know. Very hard to gauge. Tanner would love the show.
Yeah.
But I'm very hard to gauge most people how they would like it. But yeah, the whole Three Body Problem was great. I am coming around to Apples Never Fall. Did not like the first episode. Do like the second.
Okay.
And third.
I've seen it because like I said, I've been watching Traitors, finished the first season of it finally. It's a Peacock show and they always show the Apple Never Fall trailer. And there's just something about it. It seems fake. Like, you know how they had the Super Bowl State Farm commercial with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
It somehow feels fake like that.
Yeah.
But
the first episode did too the whole time.
Okay.
I did not vibe with the first episode. Second episode I liked better. Third episode I'm really getting into.
Well,
it's not great. It's not a great show. Like, I'll never watch it again or want to watch it again, but it's doing enough. And it already surprised me once with one of the plot threads I thought I'd nailed.
Yeah.
So I'm here for it. Now, when a show can do that anymore, I'm pretty happy with it. So
the best Peacock show that I probably will go back and rewatch here soon that you should watch is Poker Face.
I always think that's Hulu.
Nope. Peacock. It's great.
Okay. Yeah, I need to watch that. I'm glad you told me that because I thought it was on Hulu. All right. Let's jump into some news, big dog.
Let's do it.
Luna, not you. No,
you're the little dog. Oh, she disagrees.
All right. Did you watch Roadhouse?
Yeah, I finished
it. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Okay. It has become Prime Video's most watched produced film debut ever worldwide.
That doesn't feel right.
Over 50 million views so far.
Yeah. It's got to be like, worldwide, that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the Conor McGregor factor alone kind of.
People are loving.
I don't get it, man.
His performance.
It's one of those things, like it is, it's kind of like a gut check. Love that. Oh, that's even better. That's so great. I love how you're holding that up to the mic.
Did it fall?
Yeah, it did.
That's pretty clear. Dude, I hawked one up this morning because I had to sit through a staff meeting for the first hour. So I had to just keep swallowing it down. When I got out, dude, it was like Three Body Problem.
Oh,
like three loogies aside from like one. That Yoda over there came out of my mouth. And it was like the same color as Yoda over there.
So anyways, what was I talking about?
You were talking about Roadhouse and Conor McGregor. And I was saying how people like his performance.
Yeah. The points like this. Like this fact of most worldwide, whatever, it's a gut check of like what we do, talking about movies, our opinions, what like whether we think it's good or bad, why not. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
Like people care about the people that they know or people that they like on a movie, regardless if it's good or not.
Yeah.
They're going to watch it. And does it really matter?
It does. you're entitled to your wrong opinions, people.
Yeah.
We have the final say. Roadhouse was fun.
It's okay.
Now, that's not saying you didn't finish it, though.
I did too. Yeah, I went back and finished it.
Well, as of last Monday, you hadn't finished it. What'd you end up giving it?
I didn't rank. I'm probably 2.5, 3. Probably 3, because action was good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was entertaining. It did what it needed to do for me.
And Jake, like, honestly, Jake Gyllenhaal, he's great. Like, he's a good actor, and I enjoy him. I don't know. I enjoy him as an actor.
Me too. And he did enough.
He does good with what he's given. Yeah. So.
Agreed. Freaky Friday 2 will follow Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis characters as they body swap with two teenage girls, one of the girls being Anna, which is Lindsay Lohan's on-screen daughter.
You know, Lindsay Lohan is back, I guess.
Yeah, she's done like 2 Lifetime kind of movies. Yeah. And now she's, this is a big step in the right direction.
I saw that she had done like an interview for her most recent movie.
Irish Witch or something.
Yeah, she did one of those like sit down type of interviews. She interviewed herself and it was kind of like an homage to Parent Trap.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Did you like the first Freaky Friday?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did too.
I think I watched on like ABC.
This Family has or like whatever. Abby, Casey, Abby going to see this together all over to me. Yeah. So we can get together and go see PAX 217 and Bleach and Hawk Nelson and Yoda and all.
Yeah.
So, be a great time. No, but I'm glad Lindsay Lohan's coming back. Hopefully she didn't get quiet on the set at Disney and, you know, she can just make a safe comeback with a safe.
Have you watched all those?
On TikTok mostly.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen any of them outside of the Drake Bell, like, call outs.
To me, it's more telling who took hush money and who didn't take hush money.
Yeah.
Pretty obvious at this point.
It's good. Yeah. It's a good point.
Let's talk about the saddest news story on here.
Okay.
Alex Garland no longer plans to direct films after falling out of love of filmmaking. This was from 2 days ago. I double checked to make sure it wasn't an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, no, there was some clarification though of like, he still, he doesn't want to like direct films, but he will write films, which.
I like it when he writes and directs. Annihilation is one of my all-time favorite films.
I get it, but sometimes I think, like, Men is a good example. Men, the premise of it, really great.
Yeah.
But the execution of it.
Also really great. The butt birth thing over again is fantastic.
That's great. But the build up to that and everything, I don't know. Could be good. Y'all are men haters. I'm not a men hater. I enjoyed it. I made Caitlin watch that whole birthing sequence.
Yeah. I'm a fan of Alex Garland.
Yeah.
And I am a fan of Civil War.
Even though you haven't even seen it?
I am. I know I'm going to like it. Yeah. And I'm a fan of Annihilation, and I am a fan of Men, and I'm a fan of Ex Machina.
I mean, to be fair, Annihilation is based off a book.
Well, then his vision was even better.
It was.
Than the book. So I'm all in on Alex Garland. I hope he finds his love for filmmaking again.
Okay.
Or does like a mini series. I'd be in for that. I'd be cool with that. No surprise here. Godzilla vs. Kong, Godzilla times Kong, or X Kong, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
The new Empire opens with $194 million worldwide, the biggest opening weekend of 2024. Are you surprised?
That's kind of wild considering Dune 2 has already been out.
Mm-hmm. And it just passed, I didn't put it in the news story, it passed $600 million this week.
That's wild. It's like, what, another 100, 150 million or whatever to go till it passes Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
The Kong stuff's great. I'm kind of skeptical about how good it's going to be.
I've seen too much spoilers about it now.
Yeah.
Godzilla's in it for 8 minutes.
That's some bull crap. Okay. It's fine.
So, but it looks like it's an action beat 'em up. They said Kong's great in this. You know, there's some fun side characters, but don't go for the plot. They said the plot's the worst of the franchise.
Yeah, that was honestly my biggest worry about this whole venture.
Yeah, they said if you haven't watched Monarch, you'll enjoy it even more. But if you've watched Monarch, you'll be like, oh, what a downgrade.
Yeah.
So filming on Gen V season 2 will be delayed indefinitely following the tragic passing of Chance Perdomo.
Yeah, this was... I mean, really shocking. Chance Perdomo passed away in a motorcycle accident.
And people have been celebrating his death, man. You seen
for
that?
For real? Why?
Apparently he's kind of conservative and like followed some conservative people like Glenn Beck and people like that. And people were exposing his likes and follows accounts and be like, really, we dodged a bullet with him getting more famous. Like, it's, those takes are all over Twitter and
which
Instagram.
Is crazy considering the type of characters he's played.
I know. Regardless of who you are, though, you don't celebrate people's death unless it's like a Hitler kind of person.
No, never.
Like,
unless they have probably outwardly caused harm to large masses of people.
Yeah, just because you are conservative or liberal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to celebrate your death. Yeah. Now, if you holocausted a bunch of people, that's a different story, you know? Like, if Vladimir Putin dies, I might be like, ah, that's probably a good thing.
That's probably a good thing. And if you're listening, Putin, Vladdy.
Vladdy.
You got it coming.
My name is Garrett Hunt, and I like purple crosses.
Yeah. Right. No, I'm glad to see that they're pausing production. Or is it filming? Where are they...
They're delaying filming inevitably, or I didn't put indefinitely on filming here. That's what actually says.
Yeah. So whether they're in the middle of filming,
they
hadn't
started. They were about to start in April.
So, do you think they recast?
No.
That's hard because he was set up to be a big driving, you know.
Yeah.
Part in that. Yeah. So that's.
No, I don't think they're recasting.
Okay.
But. Kristen Stewart says she would only ever star in a Marvel movie if Greta Gerwig ever directed one. And then she quoted, apart from that, Greta Gerwig part, she goes, quote, it sounds like an effing nightmare, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think Marvel's going to come knocking on Kristen Stewart's door regardless.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Greta Gerwig, though, directing a Marvel, that would be a swing.
It would be, it'd be akin to what the James Gunn hire was for.
Yeah, but Greta Gerwig doesn't have to do it now.
No, I know.
So it's crazy. Honestly, Netflix got super lucky that they got her for...
Narnia?
Yeah, the Narnia stuff before Barbie probably really took off.
Although Narnia will be a bigger hit if she... For sure, box office plus.
Yeah.
At least I think that she does it right.
Kristen Stewart, though, I mean, I haven't seen Love Lies Bleeding, but I think if... Marvel did want to try it. I mean, if they wanted to try to be a little bit more, I don't know why this is the word that comes to my head, but a little bit more worldly.
Yeah.
Like pulpier. Kristen Stewart would probably be a good choice. Can you imagine her like as an X-Men type character? Be pretty good.
Like as the new Rogue?
I don't know. Rogue's the character, but I don't know. She kind of has an edge, like an X-Men edge to her. So, I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't like Kristen Stewart that much anymore. She's a great actress. Don't care for her.
Okay.
You know who I do care for? Jack Black.
Yes, we know.
And this news story made me feel even better about him. Jack Black was regularly hanging around on set for Francis Ford Coppola's Megapolis, but he won't star in the film. He just wanted to watch Coppola work.
That's amazing.
He's got a cameo in the film.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I'll be more impressed if he doesn't.
I mean, let's...
Like, I'll be like, that's even cooler that he just hung around the set the whole time.
I mean, that's the mystique of of Coppola is that he otherwise directs like very few do, or like those, like a lot, you know, I think Nolan has been cited as far as like drawing inspiration. We know Spielberg does. I don't know, man. It's just, I think anybody would be itching to just be a fly on the wall for his process. So,
is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, what is Luna scratching over there?
Yeah. So, that would be interesting. I'll be looking, not on the lookout for Jack Black as well.
Now, I'm going to skip a story or two just so I can.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to come back to him, but just tie this in. Francis Ford Coppola's Megapolis has been screened today. This was a couple of days ago for the first time. And it's, quote, described as, crackling with ideas that views the past with the future, with an epic and highly visual fable that plays perfectly on an IMAX screen.
Yeah, this movie, I think also there was rumors that the runtime was like less than 2.5 hours, which I feel like is in today's time.
I think it got confirmed that it's like
2:15 or something weird.
And originally this had like rumors that it was like 6 hours long.
I think most movies would be. That's it. absolutely crazy. Obviously going to be a large scale movie. IMAX is going to hopefully capture all that.
It would be
post-apocalyptic type.
Yeah, this would be the first film I consider going back to see it in Nashville for
a film. Let's book it.
Yeah, I think so. Reach out to Tyler and the boys. We'll have another time of go about it. The Terrifier 3 includes one of the most insanely horrific scenes of the Terrifier franchise. Quote, it almost made Art the Clown actor David Howard Thornton vomit on set.
Wow.
That's saying something, because in the first one, they hold a girl up by her feet and cut her from the vagina to her face.
Okay.
You ever seen these films?
No, I haven't.
They actually, I know that makes it sound really bad. It is, but
yeah.
In terms of bringing back slashers, he's the best slasher icon we've had since the 80s.
Yeah.
He's Art the Clown is the man.
Okay.
So you should watch just like some...
Like YouTube clips of
them. So it's safe, like the Terrifier in 5 minutes or something like that. And you get the gist.
Yeah.
Just so you can kind of be aware. Ready or Not 2 is in the works. Samara Weaving will reprise her role with Adam Robieto in talks to direct. I am here for this because I love the first one and I love Samara Weaving and I'm glad she's back. However, I don't know how or why this film's getting made. It does not need a sequel. I don't know how or why they're going to tie the sequel in. This seems like a very random cash grab. So I'm hopeful for the direction, especially with Samara Weaving signing back on to reprise her role. But you haven't seen the first one, right?
No, I haven't.
That was one I wanted us to watch spooky movie because it's not really a spooky movie. It's more of a cat and mouse.
Yeah.
Rich family trying to hunt this girlfriend down in the house.
Yeah, most dangerous game type.
Yeah. So not really sure how you make a sequel to this and make it make sense, but we'll see. Millie Bobby Brown says that she doesn't really watch movies because, quote, I just can't sit there and look at the screen for that long.
Yeah.
I don't like it when actors say that.
Yep.
I've heard like two other people say that in my whole life. It comes across as dismissive to
I mean, it honestly, it feels like something's wrong with them. Like,
yeah. Like, I wouldn't be acting if I didn't watch films. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like most actors love films and appreciate films while they like to direct films and write films and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that too. But more or less, we live in a day and time where we consume so much quick form, like type media.
We live in a society.
We live in a society where all of our clips are, you know, 1.5 to 2 minutes long. And we just swipe, 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 swipe. Then we get tired and then we just come back and we swipe, 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 swipe. We can't just sit there and watch one single plot line for 3.5 hours and be happy.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with us? Like, do better.
We're dying.
By the way, Caitlin watched Damsel and she liked it. And I don't know what to do with that.
Did you watch it too?
No, I did not watch it. She watched it on her plane ride home.
From New Orleans?
From New Orleans.
I almost watched it the other night, but decided
it looks so bad, bro.
It does.
I think it's based off a book. And yeah, she did acknowledge though that the writing, like it wasn't great, but she enjoyed it. So there's that.
You know what else isn't great, but people are really enjoying?
What?
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. I didn't put this in the thing. It had a Rotten Tomatoes score of 100% after 37 reviews.
Because people are stupid.
No, critics were even giving it some praise.
People are stupid.
Well, the third one got greenlit. And that's the actual news story. The bonus point was just about the two second ones out right now. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 3 is in the works with a bigger budget. Rabbit, and this is what got me so excited, the Heffalumps and Woozles will appear in the film.
Wow.
Heffalumps and Woozles?
It does feel like, though, that this franchise is becoming such a, like, it's becoming meta in the sense of, like...
Blood and Honey 2 is playing in Paducah.
I know, like we just accept the fact that the concept is ridiculous and we're just in it for the ride. Mm-hmm. And if the ride hits all the notes perfectly, then we approve of it. I mean,
it's like we were getting these films in 2005. It was called The Hills Have Eyes. Mm. It's just these people are dressed up like Pooh Bear characters now. I mean, there's no difference other than that.
And I think people would prefer them dressed up as
Pooh Bear than inbreds.
Yeah.
So this is a safer than incestual inbreds. So
wild times.
Austin Butler will star in Darren Aronofsky's next film. called Caught Stealing. The film follows a burned out former baseball player who was plunged into a wild fight for survival in the downtown criminal underworld of 90s New York City. All in. Austin Butler and Aronofsky in a 90s criminal underworld. That sounds like a great time for me.
I can't imagine Aronofsky directing a film like this.
It feels very off kilter, which is why I'm here for it.
Yeah. Also, did you see the picture of Austin Butler with Snoop Dogg and
Robert De Niro?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. I almost had it as
Robert De Niro had like his Luna like
yeah.
dog.
Yeah.
Just in his lap. I was like, he's such an old man. She's yawning.
Too? Yeah, they must be about to do some pedophile things. Because it's apparently Robert De Niro does that kind of stuff. Rumor has it.
He has a child.
I don't know.
He has like a 2-year-old.
No, I don't. I'm just kidding. Okay. De Niro's rumored to be a part of it though, but I don't believe De Niro. Well, I refuse to believe De Niro. This is a shocking news story for me.
Okay.
This is our last two. A Simple Favor 2 is moving forward. Blake Lively, Anna Kendrick, and Henry Golding, and Andrew and Nellies will all reprise their roles. Did you see the first one?
No.
It was fine. Had some great ideas, some good performances, but it did just okay from what I remember. Kind of skewed on the box office. So the fact that this is getting a sequel is another one that feels really strange while we're getting a sequel. It kind of leaves you to where you could, but it's not really I never would have pinned this movie as like a franchise kind of film. So
yeah,
very interesting. Taylor Swift probably willed this one into existence because Blake Lively is her best friend. So
this is true.
And Ryan Reynolds is her wife or her husband. Then lastly, Jeremy Allen White is the top choice to play Bruce Springsteen and Scott Cooper's The Road to Nowhere.
I'm done with biopics.
Dude, I know they are.
I'm holding out hope for Chalamet and Bob Dylan. Dylan's
yeah.
One. But yeah, Bruce Springsteen's like still alive and kicking. Like the Elton John one was fine because Elton John, I feel
he's
like
he's gay and old.
He could die at any point. And Bob Dylan's been around forever. I feel like, it's just Bob Dylan's still alive, right?
Yes.
Okay. Who am I thinking of that passed away recently?
No, he's dead.
He is dead. Okay.
Well, I'm Googling it, but I want to say I remember.
Well, there's another,
no, he's still alive. He's 82.
82. Okay. How old is Springsteen? If Springsteen is, I'm not even saying his name right. If he is less than 75, I feel like this is not right.
He turned 75 this year.
Okay. It's acceptable.
He's 74
okay.
right now.
Okay.
September is 75. So this won't come out till next year anyway.
Okay.
At the earliest.
I feel like if you are less than 75 years old, you shouldn't be having movies made about you.
Yeah. So
self-indulgent.
He'll be about 75 when this probably releases, maybe 76. Anyway. As a whole, though, I could see him working as Bruce Springsteen, so I'm sure. Actually okay with that. So that's it. We did it. We made it to the news. I like what we've been watching and a trailer roundup. You have any closing thoughts?
I'm excited to talk about Robin Williams.
We got some
great movies.
This is one of the few weeks that I'm like ready to get out of the first episode to get to the second episode because What Dreams May Come.
Yeah.
What a banger, man. And Insomnia. Also, second watch through of that film, I still enjoyed it a lot.
There's some good things. If so, you know, we'll be talking about Robin Williams on Thursday. Yeah. Go watch him.
Who would have ever thought that you'd have Robin Williams and Al Pacino in a Christopher Nolan led film?
Absolutely crazy.
Directed film. Yeah, I know. A very, 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 very interesting episode to come. So other than that, we will be back with you Thursday as we break down Insomnia and What Dreams May Come for Robin Williams in review. Until then, y'all hang in there and like us, review us, go like Mostly Focused and that as well, because we are all a part of the Mostly family. So we love y'all. We'll see y'all soon. This has been Mostly Film, your one-stop chaotic shop for all things in the world of cinemas. And I am one of your hosts, Sean the Recorder, and my beautiful co-host, JP Paton.
See you guys.
See ya.